You may have noticed the collect and the reading. Also, the message and the hymn are for Transfiguration Sunday. When a professor writes a homiletical help for the Concordia Journal, that professor then gives the message about a week and a half before the Sunday on which that homiletical help is used. It is about a week and a half before the Transfiguration, and I did the homiletical help for that Sunday. Incredible things. Elijah does incredible things. We heard in the reading, he takes his cloak, he hits the water, the spreads apart, and he and Elijah walk on dry land. Earlier in his ministry, a drought. A widow and her son are about ready to die. They have enough flour and oil for one more meal. Elijah asks for it. And the oil and the flour do not run out. It just keeps on going and going and going, like an Energizer bunny, I guess. The son dies a little while later. Elijah goes up, prays on him three times, and he comes back to life again. Incredible things, incredible. He does battle with hundreds of prophets of Baal. They set up their sacrifices, the false prophets, and they dance and they cut themselves and they pray and nothing happens. Elijah has the sacrifice doused with water and he prays and whoosh, it's gone in flames. Incredible, incredible things happen when Elijah is around. And here we heard about his last day. He's taken up in a fiery chariot in a whirlwind. He is one of two people in the Bible who does not die. Oh, incredible. When it comes to Elijah, incredible things happen. And perhaps that's why he seems so distant and so strange from us. It's not just the 2,900 years time span that's different. He's just different from our everyday and ordinary and uneventful lives. If you have kids, you get up, you try to get them to school, you run some errands, you come to work. You go home, you try to get everything done. We have a lot more food than the widow did, but it seems like we're going through fast food restaurants or zapping something in the microwave before we collapse in bed at night. And then we go and do the same thing the next day and the next day. And if you don't have children, empty nester or whatever, it still can be so uneventful. You get up, you run your errands, you do your work, you come home, it's quiet at home, you go to bed, then you get up and do the same thing. Uneventful, ordinary, mundane. Oh, we have our exciting moments. A special vacation, a night out just the two of you, an anniversary celebration. Oh, maybe you've got someplace special you're going to go to, a special gift, a promotion, whatever the case may be. We have those exciting moments, but they don't last very long. Certainly not 2,900 years like Elijah's incredible moments do. Elijah, incredible. You and me, kind of uneventful. Until you look behind the miracles to see Elijah, the man. And what you find with Elijah, the man, is someone who is lonely and afraid. You would think with all those incredible things he did, he would be bold and courageous, and yet he spends most of his ministry by himself. There is one time he is so low, so down, he thinks he's the only one left who still believes in the one true God. And after that incredible victory over all those prophets, he finds out Queen Jezebel is after his life. And what does he do? He runs. He hides. He's scared. Now Elijah doesn't seem quite so far and distant and strange. We know what it means to be lonely and afraid. I saw a cartoon once. A teenage girl is part of her class that has gone on a picnic. And there's all sorts of teenagers around her in the park. And she's on a cell phone and she says, "I'm so glad you called. I'm so lonely." Amidst all the people around her, she was still lonely. There are times in our lives when we have so many people around us in a store, at work, connected on the internet and Facebook and text messaging, and yet deep inside we still long for the close relationship to take away the loneliness. We know what it's like to be alone. And as for fears, I remember a couple years ago, a chapel here, and I believe it was you, Dr. Hartung, who had us fill out some 3x5 cards in which you had us list our fears. I still remember what I put down on that 3x5 card. What would you put down as one of your greatest fears on a 3x5 card? Here's some. A disaster that takes away your home and things. The death of someone you love. The loss of your mind from dementia or Alzheimer's. A broken relationship. Crime violating your body or your home. Financial woes. A loss of relationship with the Lord due to some sinful weakness or growing doubts. What would you write on the card? We have our fears too. Elijah may have done incredible things, but when you get behind them to Elijah the man, he's more like us than we may have ever realized. But now, jump ahead from Elijah's time, 900 years, and after he's been taken up in that whirlwind, he reappears once again. Jesus has gone up onto a mountain, a small mountain, with Peter, James, and John, and he is transfigured, amazing white, dazzling bright. He is showing his glory. And who's there? Who's there? Moses and Elijah. Elijah is back once again, but he is not the center of attention. The center of attention is Jesus. The Father says, "This is my Son whom I love." And then Elijah and Moses are doing something incredible. Although it looks pretty simple. See, what Elijah is doing at that moment is the same thing he did in his ministry. Elijah really didn't want to call attention to himself with all those incredible moments. What his ministry was about was calling people back to worship the one true Lord and Him only. And when he's on that Mount of Transfiguration, he's doing the exact same thing for you and me. He's calling us back to listen, to focus, to see, to believe, to follow the one true Lord, and his name is Jesus. And how does he do that? By standing next to Jesus and talking to him. It seems so simple. But what's incredible is what they're talking about. What are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus going to Jerusalem. They're talking about the incredible things Jesus will do in Jerusalem for you and for me. He comes down from that Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and he is alone. Oh, sure, his disciples accompany him for a while, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prays, they fall asleep. The mob comes, they run away. He is alone. Even on the cross, his Father abandons him in loneliness. He takes care of our fears and our loneliness. The old hymn has it right. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, all our fears, all our loneliness, sins and griefs, he bears. I'm not Elijah, but I'm going to take these fears and I'm going to put them on the altar. No flames are going to come suddenly shooting down and take them away, but there's a cross here, and the sacrifice of Jesus has already taken care of them. And then Jesus does another incredible thing. He reappears, resurrected, risen from the dead, never to leave us, always to stand by us, always ready to listen to us. In the everyday, mundane moments of life, whether we're rushing kids to school or eating a meal out of the microwave or simply collapsing exhausted at night, Jesus is there. And he's ready to talk. He's there during the exciting moments. And he's there when we're alone and afraid. Think of Elijah. All those incredible things that he does, and I'm sure he would say the most incredible thing that ever happened to him is when he stood next to Jesus and simply talked to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because they talked about incredible things, about Jesus going to Jerusalem, about a cross, about a resurrection. Elijah's calling us back to the one true Lord again today. He's calling us back to Jesus, to the one who is always standing beside us, risen from the dead, always ready to listen and talk. And that is an incredible thing indeed. Amen.